Good morning. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, and we'll start reading at verse 9. That's Luke chapter 18, and starting at verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God, and everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and want to praise your name for your word. We thank you for this example that Jesus gave us in Scripture of how we should be humble before you. I just pray that as Pastor Joseph opens the word this morning, that you would just make it abundantly apparent to each one of us where you want to speak to us and how you want to change our lives in some way. And Father, I'd also like to pray for, as Pastor Joseph mentioned this morning, but all the missionaries that we support as a church. We pray for each one in the work, in the fields that they are. And I'd also like to say a special prayer for Vivian this week as she goes out and is going to serve you in Haiti for 2 weeks. We just pray that you would bring her back safely and use her while she's there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have you ever wondered what God sees and hears daily, when millions of people pray? And sometimes I ask the question to myself, right now that we are praying, there probably are millions of people doing or thinking they're doing the right thing, or they're praying and they are petitioning to God for something. I have been around the world, literally, and I've been to many countries where I have seen people pray. I've been to Muslim countries, Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, Israel, and European countries, and I have seen people pray. I've also seen people pray where I come from, Greece. And I remember the older days when my mom and dad would pray. They for them was a solemn moment. They would come on their knees and pray. And then I remember once when my mom, my dad and I went to a Greek church, because obviously being in Greece there were many evangelical Greek churches. And when the pastor said, is there anyone that would like to pray, my mom stood up and started praying in Greek with her very broken Greek-Armenian accent. And I was embarrassed, and yet everyone came and said, that was a wonderful prayer. And I have heard many prayers. And I have said to myself, I wish I could pray like this person. They have the right words, the right vocabulary, the right voice, the right things to say. And people may think, or I have thought in the past, that God must be very pleased with this prayer. And then on the other hand, I've heard prayers that didn't say very much when it came to words, and yet I saw the tears coming down. And then I've heard prayers of guilty people when I pray with them after counseling or while counseling. And when I see those tears and I hear nothing other than just the pain that is coming out from their heart. I join them. And I know those prayers are heard because they come from the heart. What is a prayer? If a mother or a father hears two children who come to her or him, and one starts saying, "Mom, you know what, I did fix that, and I've done that, and I'm a good boy, and I've done this," and the other one comes running with tears and says, "Mom, I need your help. Dad, I need your help." I'm sure that the parent will turn to the kid who came with a problem, and all that that child is saying, "I need your help. Please help me." And I believe that is the same thing with God. God cannot be impressed with my beautiful words. God is only impressed with my heart. What is a prayer? There is a right way, and then there is a wrong way of doing almost everything. This message is about two men, two prayers, and two results. In Luke 18, verses 9 to 14, Jesus told those who were very confident of their own righteousness, two men went up to the temple to pray. The story Jesus used was about two men who went to the temple for their private prayer. Two men going to the same place for the same purpose, to pray. And I suppose these two men had different agendas in their mind. They went to the church to pray because usually there were two prayer sessions in the temple. And people would come and pray for their own needs, and also they would praise God in prayer. One man prayed in the right way and the other prayed the wrong way. The one was a Pharisee and the other one was a publican. The Pharisee was a member of the religious group that prided itself in the strict observance of the law of God. The Pharisees used to be the most respected people in the society. People would consider them very righteous. But the Pharisees became so concerned about the small details that they neglected the great duties of life. And because they did not practice what they preached, they became known as religious phonies, hypocrites. And I believe today many of us see this taking place in the church, in religious gatherings, regardless whether they call themselves Christians or whatever else, regardless whether they call themselves evangelicals or mainline churches. They are so busy, people are so busy doing the little details about how to decorate the building, how to organize the groups, and how to do this and the other. And the people look at them and say, "Boy, these are good organizers, these are good leaders, and they are respected, and more they are respected, more they think they are better than others," and this pride takes over their hearts, their lives, and their prayers become very self-centered. The publican was a tax collector for the Roman government. Although the publicans were Jews, they were the least respected by other Jews as sellouts and traitors. The two men went up to the temple to pray. We have come here this morning to pray. We have come here this morning to hear God speak to us, I hope. And we have come here to have fellowship. And yet, I believe many of us will agree that our minds and hearts are not necessarily in the same wavelength.
We all have our own things to pray about. The Pharisee probably stood in a very obvious place and prayed loud enough for everyone there to hear this prayer. His prayer was something like this: God, maybe louder, I'm really proud that I am not a sinner like other people I know, such as this tax collector over there. I'm not stealing. I don't work for the Romans. I don't commit adultery. I fast twice a week and put money in the offering plate regularly. I know I'm okay with you, God. You say, well, who prays like that? Well, many do. And I've heard prayers like that. Oh, Lord, thank you for choosing me. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for giving me these gifts. Thank you for giving me all these. Because I have kept your word. And in our heart we feel we are actually very spiritual and not like the others. And God hears that prayer, maybe, maybe not. But God may have mercy on those of us who feel like this. The tax collector, the sinner, on the other hand, at the other end, found a place in the shadows where no one would see him. He was afraid to approach God. He felt so unworthy that he would not even look up to God. Instead, he beat his chest as if he was saying, I'm so wrong and sinful in here, God. In my here, Lord, in my heart. His prayer was very short, but to the point. He said, God, have mercy on me. And he signed his petition, a sinner. He asked God's mercy.
I don't know about you, but there have been moments in my prayer time when I bowed my head and I didn't know what to say. I didn't know where to start. I felt so unworthy. And all I could do is weep. And I believe God hears those prayers more than the prayers that go nowhere. And I've heard people address God and say, hey, God, God is not hey, and God is not our friend, and God is not the butler, and God is not the elder or deacon. God is God, the creator, the sustainer, the one that forgives and condemns. And when we pray, let's just remember who we're talking to, unless we don't even know who we're talking to. God demands holiness. And if you feel holy enough, talk to God the way you want to. But who is holy? God is. Jesus explained the meaning of this story. He said that the tax collector was the one who was justified by God. In other words, it was the tax collector who pleased God and not the religious Pharisee. The Pharisee went back home as guilty as ever. Why? It was their attitude. The prayer of the Pharisee was all about himself. He used the personal pronoun I 5 times in his prayer of 35 words. But the letter I
spoiled his prayer. He bragged about what he did and what he did not do. He was a real eye specialist. This man trusted in himself and his self-righteousness. Then he compared himself with others and told God that he was better. And finally, he boasted of his outward religious acts, works.
I've been to churches where at the end of the year or a few times a year they would bring a big blackboard, at least used to in those days. Today I'm sure they will have PowerPoints on the wall saying how much each individual gave. And they would comment and say, so-and-so gave so much money that God is going to bless him and God is going to reward him. And God, as a matter of fact, preachers today, they will get up on television and start preaching a sermon like this. If you give $1, God is going to multiply it. If you give him $10,000, he's going to give you $100,000. And if you can impress God by building a hospital, you are now for sure assured eternal life in heaven. But that's not what the Bible says. No one can impress God. No one can impress our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life on the cross, so we will be free. And he paid the price for us. All he wants is a sincere and broken heart, confessing sins. John the Baptist, when he was baptizing, he didn't ask anyone to give anything other than to come and confess his or her sins and ask for forgiveness. In the Old Testament, I keep repeating this verse, when God called Israel, and when God spoke to the children of Israel, he said, if those of you who call yourselves the chosen people, he said, if those who call themselves chosen humble themselves and pray and confess their sins and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear their prayers. And then I'll forgive their sins. And then I'll restore their land. Well, the same thing Jesus is saying here. This short prayer is in three parts. First comes the word God. That is the person to whom the message is addressed. This prayer is not addressed to Moses. It's not addressed to Abraham. It's not addressed to St. Peter or St. Mary or anyone else other than God, our Creator and Sustainer. No one has the right. No one can hear our prayers. No one can respond to our prayers. And no one ever justifies anyone other than God himself. He called God. Then there comes the message, which is a request. And the request is, have mercy on me. And lastly is the word, a sinner. Just like a telegram message, it is one of the oldest telegram messages sent from the heart of a needy person to heaven. The address is God. The request, have mercy on me. The signature, a sinner. The Pharisee prayed as if he was the only saint. I'm not like other men, he said. The tax collector prayed as if he was the only sinner. God have mercy on me, the sinner.
The Pharisee felt self-sufficient. He did not need anything or anyone outside himself. But the tax collector knew that he needed someone else to be justified. He could not justify himself before God. When the tax collector prayed, he knew that he needed someone else to make an offering for the forgiveness of his sinful past and satisfy God. For he, by himself, could not justify himself before God. When he prayed, "God, have mercy on me," he was saying, in effect, "I know I cannot offer a sacrifice for forgiveness of my sins. So, Lord, I ask you, please, to provide a sacrifice that will provide forgiveness for my sins." The two prayers reveal two kinds of heart, one full of pride and the other with humility. God has provided such sacrifice for all sinners who come to Him for His mercy and forgiveness. He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. The penalty for all sins is death. In Romans 6:23 we read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus died and became the sacrifice for all. When we accept Him as Lord and Savior, God will be merciful to us and will forgive our sins because the penalty has been paid by Jesus. These two men represent the only two religions in this world. The Pharisee represents all those religions that teach that man can earn his own salvation by doing right, by being religious, by giving money, by being a good person, and by doing the best he can. The tax collector represents the true religion, which teaches that a person cannot save himself, but God provides salvation as a free gift to all who come to Him as sinners and receive Jesus as their only hope for heaven, and then follow Him and reflect Him in their daily walk. Works are the result of salvation. Salvation is not the result of works. If someone wants to impress someone else, a young lady wants to impress a young man, or a young man wants to impress a young lady, and they try to work things, or do things, or present things, the other person may be impressed. And yet, sooner or later, that other person will discover that, oh, this is a bribery and not love. But when a person is in love with someone else and is willing to do everything and go everywhere and say anything that will that show that love that is inside the heart, then that person very quickly will realize that what this person is doing is not because he or she wants to bribe this her or him, but because there is a lot of love. And that's what baptism is about. It's not to impress God, it's not to impress the congregation, and it's not to fulfill a law in the church, but it is to say that I have died to this world and now I am a brand new person. I have been resurrected. I have a new beginning. I have new life. I love you, God, and here publicly I'm showing, or at least demonstrating, that I have died to the world, and now you will help me walk this journey and follow you. Well, this is what is the process of salvation. There is a right way and there is a wrong way of worshiping God. Which way do we worship God here? Which way do you worship God? It is a question that every one of us must ask. Do I pray because I want to impress God? Or I pray because I'm compelled to express my love and my gratitude to God for what He has done to me. And also to ask Him, please, to help me walk this walk and live a life that will be pleasing not only to Him, but to be a good example to others. And if this is the prayer, then God will answer the prayer. But if my prayer is to show others that I'm a Christian, that I'm a born-again believer, that I've been baptized, that I'm an elder, that I'm a pastor, and I know what is right and what is wrong, then God is not going to accept that prayer unless it comes from the heart and that represents what's in the heart. May God help us humble ourselves before His throne and sacrifice something that is so precious to us and yet is stopping us from serving Him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You. We thank You for enabling us to hear Your voice once again. Lord, not my words. If I have said anything this morning that was not according to Your will, please erase it from our minds and hearts. But I believe You, in Your own way, through the Holy Spirit, have spoken to each one of us. And may we respond to Your call and humble ourselves. And like this tax collector, confess our sin to You and ask for Your forgiveness and restoration. In Your name, our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.